Hello and welcome to North East Access Radio, and welcome to the Senior Citizens Show. And on the phone we have Grainne Loughran of Alone. She's the communication officer, and today we're going to speak to her about quite a lot of things with regard to Alone. And we start off with the pop-up shops. Are you there, Grainne?
I am indeed, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, don't mention it. That's what we're here for. Yeah, your pop-up shop, you sold hundreds of paintings to support older people.
Yeah, we were delighted a couple of months ago to get a donation from Dublin artist Tony Gunning of more than 400 of his original paintings. So over the last couple of months, we've been working on selling those paintings to raise money for a loan. So we raised a fantastic €11,784 over the couple of months with the help of more than 70 volunteer shop assistants and with support from Stephen's Green Shopping Centre, who actually provided us a space in the shopping centre for free. So we had Stephen's Green on board, we had support from Lisney, You Store It, and a whole range of other organisations and corporate partners, which means that all of the money raised will go directly towards supporting older people. So it's really been a fantastic few months.
Yes, and €11,084, am I getting the sum right?
Yeah, that's exactly that's it. Just under 12,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, any money is gratefully received with regard to a loan. And a loan, of course, does a huge amount of work. Now, what sort of pictures were they? With landscapes or portraits or still life or whatever? And I know nothing about painting.
There is actually a huge range. There's really something for everybody in the collection. So it ranged from small local scenes really to contemporary realism, and it was large and small, and price points for everybody as well. The painting started at just €20, so it was great to have the full range there. So we're guaranteed to find something for everybody.
Yes, and of course, like painting is like wallpaper, it covers a multitude, and beauty, of course, is in the eye of the beholder. And quite a lot of people would like this type of painting, some other people would like another type of painting, and some people would just like ink blots on a big sheet of paper. And the only ink blots I ever got now were the ones in school, and you could get a clatter on the back of them, knuckles all over them as such. Now, with regard to all sorts of other activities that you're carrying on, now I'll ask you about, you know, we were speaking about it not too long ago, about the houses that you made accommodation available in for senior citizens. I don't know, I can't remember the name of the project.
Yes, so we were working on home sharing there.
Home sharing, that's it. How did that project go? It was going a bomb the last time I was speaking to you, and it was a big success, and it had a very bright future.
Exactly, and I think going forward, there's going to be a lot more interest in this type of housing. So home sharing is where an older person and another person will share a home for mutual benefit, really. So the older person will get a couple of hours of help and support around the house a week, and also some company, whereas the person sharing the house will get a cheaper accommodation fee. And especially now, in a time where rents are so high, this can really prove helpful to older people and younger people, really. So it's really about, I suppose, raising awareness of this type of housing as well, because it's something that not everyone might be aware of that they can do. And it may not be suitable for everybody, and that's okay as well, but we think that there are an awful lot of people out there that it will be suitable for. So we partnered with the Home Share there a couple of months back to trial rolling out home sharing among some of the older people we work with. And we found that there was a really great deal of interest in the idea. So we're hoping now, over that trial is finished for the time being, but we'll be coming back to it, I would think, in the next couple of months to consider what we might do ourselves going forward in terms of home sharing, whether that's, and that could be just promoting the idea. But all in all, it's a very interesting project to undertake. And I think some of the older people who we've seen have benefited a huge amount from it.
Yes, and of course there's two or three different aspects to it, you know. And in one sense, if a person is living, whether it's male or female, it might be in it, I won't say advanced years, but it's a citizen, senior citizen as such, and just for security, have another person in the proximity, and they might be upstairs in what we used to call the flat, in a room upstairs, and that gives them assurances and such. And then with regard to the income or whatever, it's not paid directly to the householder, it's paid to yourselves and you pay it to the householder, which makes it an agreement with yourselves, and it'll probably be the full legal agreement. That means that these arrangements are ideal for people as such. And, you know, the other thing is you're giving a person who might have been renting and could be renting all their life, well, the vast majority of their life, and the rents are being pumped up about 12% a year and just isn't affordable.
Exactly. It can be very difficult for younger people and young professionals now to afford housing, whether that's to rent or to buy at this stage. So a concept like home sharing can really kind of provide an alternative option for them, where they get a lower cost housing, but also it can enable them to, I suppose, make a new friend, possibly make a new companion. And an awful lot of younger people, or even people in their middle age and older, get an awful lot out of concepts like home sharing, or in fact befriending, where they can form a relationship with an older person that they may not have had before. So really, it's beneficial all round, really. And like you say, the idea of security for an older person to have somebody there can really help, especially. We're coming into spring now at last, but over the last few winter months when it gets dark earlier in the evenings, really can make a world of difference.
Yes, and indeed it can, you know. And, you know, even the company, you know, if
exactly.
The person's upstairs, it is company, you know. You're secure, you know, there's somebody up there that'll, if anything happens, like you could fall, or you could, will be there to assist you. You know, it doesn't mean we're talking about burglary or anything like that. But even if a person keeps forgetting to take their medicine or a medication of some description, the other person might be just prompt them, did you get take your medicine at 3 o'clock today or whatever it would be? And this in itself is. You know, a huge assistance to a senior citizen as such.
Yeah, for home sharing, there are a couple of rules in place just to make sure that, you know, people don't get too dependent, or that the home share isn't kind of filling the tasks that maybe a home help or a care might do. So generally their tasks might be things like helping out around the house, and maybe doing a bit of grocery shopping and things like that, all of which can really make a big difference.
Yeah, even putting out the bin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We heard a story actually recently in the cold weather of one of our volunteers He visited the older person that he befriended and found that he hadn't been able to get out to his shed to get the turf in for the fire. And so he was wrapped in a blanket for the day, more or less. So it's really those little jobs that might seem kind of small, but you know, say in things like cold weather, it can be very challenging to face up to.
Yeah, and of course, if it's frosty, that's another problem. Now, with regard to your volunteers, I know you have a couple of hundred, I think. You gave me the figure the last time, but I just can't remember what it was.
We're up to nearly 1,500 now.
Yeah, and 1,500. And that means that at least they're contacting 1,500 people. And it may be more than, they might have two people they would contact, maybe three. Even if it's just an odd phone call, how are you doing, do you want anything, can I assist you, whatever it is. And if the shopping's too heavy, I'll come down and wheel down half the basketful or whatever. And these type of things, apart from the assistance they're given, you're building up camaraderie. You know, as they used to say in the country years ago, the mehel, they're giving the neighbours are giving a helping hand. It just means that, and this is another aspect of this. You know, and loneliness is one of the great afflictions that afflicts elderly people. They might be withered or widowed, and the children may be anywhere. Australia had to emigrate, like a huge amount had to do in the last 8 years, 10 years or whatever, and the cost of your home had people emigrating and such. But when you're not there, it's an entirely different thing.
And
loneliness sort of creeps in like a damp cloud.
Well, that's exactly it. And it's like you say, our communities are changing and our families are changing. And, people who might have lived down the road in the past, they may have moved elsewhere. And those community ties as we get older as well are weakening to a certain extent. So it's really important and it's really fantastic to have a volunteer to kind of pick that up and kind of create the link again, and to make sure that the older person they're visiting isn't lonely, because loneliness can really have a really terrible impact on your life generally, but also your health. It can shorten your life, and it's been compared to things like cigarette smoking and obesity in terms of the health impact it can have. So it's really important that now, as the community is changing and our family ties are changing, that we do provide support through people like volunteers to kind of step in and make sure that those links are there, and to make sure that those negative impacts don't happen. And I think the older people who receive befriending volunteers and phone calls as well will really say that it has changed their life. I was talking to a lady there not so long ago, and she described loneliness as something that it's like the walls closing in on you. You kind of feel very trapped and very almost suffocated. She became quite lonely after her husband passed away. But getting a befriending volunteer, it not only gave her the companionship once a week, but it kind of gave her the confidence to go back out and to start making friends again outside of her volunteer. She now teaches knitting down at her local health centre, which is really fantastic. And all of that came from just a volunteer calling into her for an hour or so a week. So it's very important that volunteers can kind of step in and kind of take up the mantle and make sure that older people are happily and securely aging at home for as long as possible.
Yeah, and Gráinne, do you find any differential between urban settings, like, and rural settings. Now we have no, although we do bits and pieces around with community radios around the country, sometimes the attitude is slightly different. It may be more relaxed, like, in a rural setting than it is in an urban setting. And these also cause bits and pieces of problems. And do you find any differentiation between, or has you come aware of it?
Well, I suppose one of the challenges in rural areas is that if you live quite far away from local amenities, it can mean that you're more isolated potentially than, say, somebody, for example, in the city, because, you know, you just have a bit of distance between yourself and the local shop or the local club or events or anything like that. And we find actually we offer telephone befriending in Louth and also in Donegal, where we have a team of telephone befrienders who just make friendly calls to older people once or twice a week. And we find that even the phone call can really lift somebody's spirits and can really kind of provide that kind of social interaction. Where somebody is living like very rurally and quite a distance away from a town or village or city or anything like that. But we find that actually some of our rural volunteers are nearly roughly or almost the same age as the people that they're befriending as well. We actually have a volunteer pair down in Carlow, where the volunteer is, I think, 79, and the man he's visiting is 81. And so it just goes to show that, you know, it's really for all ages volunteering, but also that you can be any age and maybe need a level of support.
Yeah, that reminds me of the two people of approximately the same age, and they'd be arguing over a football match or Gaelic match that happened 50 years prior. And this time,
yeah.
But that type of engagement in itself, you know, is therapeutic. You know, and you brought up the question of Donegal, and we did bits and pieces with Radio Donegal, and isolation there is a big, big problem. Well, it is in lots of places,
yeah.
But in Donegal now it is a really big problem. And, you know, alone and your volunteers in these areas are doing fantastic work, even if it's only just picking up the phone every two or three days and saying, how are you, Mary or John or whatever, how are things up at your end of the woods, etc., etc. And, you know, and there, of course, with the disappearance of post offices and banks, and it creates big, big problems for people who usually went to the local post office every week and met all the friends there and had a bit of chat and maybe had a cup of tea and whatever and then a bone, and they'd be talking there and catching up on all the local news, etc. And these facilities are disappearing rapidly, which will make loan activities more stressful as such. And you're always looking for volunteers. Now, maybe you'll tell us about the volunteers. How does a person come to be a volunteer?
Well, it's you just get in contact with us. There's a contact form on our website that you can fill out. That's on alone.ie.
Yeah.
Or you can give our office a call. That's on 01-679-1032. And we'll sign you up. Usually a volunteer will go through a couple of stages, an information session and some training and Garda vetting to make sure that everybody's up to speed on the role and what it entails before we match the volunteer up with an older person in their area to go out and start visiting. So it's really quite straightforward, but the volunteers that we have. We've almost 1,500 volunteers, but we're always looking for more across Dublin, but also in Louth and Donegal and Carlow and Kilkenny as well. So if you might be interested yourself, but you also may know somebody in another area who may be interested, so do pass the message on.
Yeah, we definitely do that, and every now and then we put out that phone number, and it's 679132. Is that am I right?
679 1032. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot the zero as usual. And every now and then we will, during our programs, we will put that out and see if there's any response. Now, you were talking about training and Garda vetting, which Garda vetting, of course, is totally essential for any type of volunteering. And, you know, that does in itself take a bit of time, you know, for the results to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it could make 8 or 10 weeks, maybe. We've no cases.
Yeah, it can take a bit of time between getting in touch and when there's a training session in your area. And also, it sometimes might take a little bit of time for us to match a volunteer up with an older person, you know, just so that they're in a location, really, that suits. And so that they might have things in common, and just to make sure that everything's in place, really. But it's also really important not to be disheartened if it does take a little bit of time, because that's how, I suppose, the friendship or the relation between the older person and the volunteer can then be so strong, I suppose, afterwards. And so that the volunteer will gain the skills, and so that we know that both the older person and the volunteer will have things in common and have things to talk about when they do visit. So that's another important thing to mention, to just be a little bit patient. And but once the visits start up, then for many of both the older people and the volunteer, the friendship will go on to last a lifetime. So it's really, it's fantastic.
Now, Grania, at the future projects, what future projects have you got in mind, or in train, as the guy says? Yeah, have you got future projects, projects lined up, have you?
Oh, yeah, no, we've plenty of it up and coming. We'll be running a finance campaign in the coming months, and many other events, so keep an eye out for us. All of the information is on loan.ie, or you can give us a call on 679 1032.
Yeah, and you know, you're always like I say, the pop up shop and the paint sale, the painting sale, I should say, realise about 11,084 euros. Have you any other projects like that in mind? Would you be good running with more pop up shops and more different? it might be antiques the next time, or it might be something else, objet d'art or whatever, to make a few bucks.
Well, we'll have a good few fundraising events coming up throughout the year. We're always looking for people to help out with things like bag packing and flag days and things like that. So if anybody is interested in volunteering for fundraising, they can send us an email on fundraising@alone.ie or give us a call, because we're always looking for support with that.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, you need every bit of support you can get. And, you know, the work that Mr. Birmingham started all those years ago is sure to survive and go from strength to strength. And I'd like to thank Ron. Thank you, Grania, for coming on at a bit of a short notice, and we had a bit of a time change there, and such. And we will be in contact with you in the future. to see how things are going. And all the best, Grania, and all the best to your volunteers alone, etc., etc.
Thanks so much, Alison. Much appreciated. Thank you.